Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast, Film Jerks, is truly one of the most spoiler-filled film podcasts ever recorded. It contains ridiculous opinions, which under no circumstances should be listened to by anyone that has a heart condition or anyone who is easily upset by film spoilers. We urgently recommend that if you are such a person, or parent of a young and impressionable child now listening, that you skip to the end of the podcast for our ratings and live your lives free of disagreeing with overtly opinionated people. You'll live longer.
Film Jerks is a group where we, as a community, pick a film to watch, then discuss like little old ladies in a book club. Only our films have decapitations and nude slumber party pillow fights. If you wish to become part of the conversation and become a film jerk, go to the Facebook group and join. Film Jerks can be found on iTunes and Stitcher Smart Radio.
Welcome, jerks, to our very first episode of Film Jerks 2.0. We're not like any other movie review show out there. We're basically a movie discussion group where we get together like little old ladies to discuss our films. In this episode, we'll be discussing the film Blood Mania. In our discussion roundtable this time is our lipstick jerk, Angelique.
Hello.
Hello. And I'm also present. I'm your bow tie jerk, Paul. Let's get ready for Blood Mania.
Terror that rips the screams right out of your throat. Suspense that traps you in a web of shadows and fear.
I expect $50,000 in 2 weeks.
A treacherous journey inside a nightmare of passion and death. A love affair with horror. Blood Mania. A terrifying film experience that explores the twisted souls of insanity. When there is no reality, there is no such word as evil.
You've been after Craig Cooper for years and he won't give you a tumble.
What makes you so hard to get?
A bargain of the flesh made by an ambitious doctor who sought to escape his own past.
I need 50,000.
I know how to get it.
I give, devise, and bequeath the remainder of my estate to my daughter, Gail Waterman.
Come back! I hate you!
Two sisters, blood sisters. One the victim of a love that was a lie. The other tormented by demons of jealousy and hate. Blood Mania.
I don't want the money. I have you.
A suspense shocker in the psycho tradition. An electrifying tale of intrigue, madness, and death. Come prepared for the shocking climax. The last 15 minutes will jolt you right out of your seat.
All right, we're back. And because I picked the movie of this episode, I get to give a brief summary of what the film is about. Blood Mania is a horror film from the year 1970, and it was written by and stars Peter Carpenter. And it's about a physician named Dr. Greg Cooper, who's caring for this dying old curmudgeon of a man named Mr. Waterman. And we find out pretty early on that the doctor is being blackmailed for his past illegal activities. He was involved in some illegal abortions when he was a younger doctor, I suppose. And this allows Waterman's daughter, Victoria, to basically seduce him for the promise of some money. And she decides to kill her father for the fortune and basically give the money to the doctor for his blackmail. Unfortunately, things don't go as expected. And we find out that Victoria's sister, Gail, is named Benefactor instead of Victoria. basically, I think this film had a very much an old horror movie type vibe, complete with that low camera angle, you know, that you see in horror films. Mm-hmm. And I guess my first question is going to be, what are your thoughts about the film and how does it compare to horror films today?
It was kind of an obvious twist, but it harkens back to that whole, you know, anything not supernatural has to do with bad family and bad relationships.
Yes, definitely. So,
you know, it's just one of those, you know, between the various dalliances of the good doctor and the hatred in that family, you know, it's just a recipe for disaster. We don't really see a whole lot of that stuff these days that I can remember. You know, it's usually everything's all ghosts now, ghosts and creatures.
That's true. And do you think that that's just the way the trend is going, or do you think it's going to go back to these type of movies where, you know, like this type of movie?
Well, I don't know. It would be a found footage family disaster movie.
That would be awesome.
If it did.
So. Oh, no.
And capture. Well, I guess The Visit, I guess, would kind of fits into that.
That's true.
You know, that was kind of a throwback, but, you know, it's all going to be filmed on iPhone, so. I don't know how good a story it might be.
Oh, I did, like you, felt that this was a different type of film than it is today. It's kind of a slow film at the beginning. And it basically does what you expect an older horror film to have, is everything gets set up at the beginning. And then right after the climax, it kind of reveals all that horror elements that you expect it. And I did expect there to be a lot of trippiness going on and psychedelicness, but I keep forgetting that 70s films have a lot of pornographic elements to it.
Yeah, I was like, blood mania, you mean boob mania, right?
Exactly. Oh my god, it's like every other scene had some kind of, like, you know, oh my goodness. So
what did you think about the whole undertone about the lesbian thing there?
I thought it was kind of fun.
I
didn't expect it. That was another element that I didn't expect from this film. And, you know, soon as they brought the character, it was like, wait, she really does like Gail. Oh, she really does like Gail.
Yeah. Then that whole speech about women like me go back to my kind. I was like, wait a minute. She's,
oh,
no.
Exactly. Oh my goodness.
What was that whole thing in the very beginning with, I guess it was supposed to be Gail in that white sheer thing with the rope around her neck being chased by like Herman Munster?
Yes. And it comes back later on too, when she kind of consummates kind of the relationship with the good doctor, she kind of has that flashback thing. I'm wondering if maybe the Mr. Waterman might have been a little bit too touchy-feely.
So I was wondering that myself.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the whole
point,
why they both hated him so much. But yeah. It's
an interesting topic to discuss and further. And I haven't actually read much about what other people thought of that scene. So that's a good point.
Yeah. Because that's just, you know, it started out all trippy and crazy. I'm like, okay, cool. It's going to be some kind of blood cult. Nope. Certainly not. Nope. There's a lot of painting and a lot of boobs and a Renaissance fair. But okay.
Very, very little blood, though.
Yeah, very little blood. Yeah. A fair amount of mania, but very little blood, you know.
Exactly. What sort of lessons do you think we could learn from a film like Blood Mania?
Blackmail is bad.
Yes.
Don't kill your dad for your inheritance because you may not get it.
That's
don't
true.
Don't kill your sister and express yourself creatively more. I think if she'd have painted a little more, she would have been okay.
You think so?
Yeah.
That would be odd. She was actually a pretty decent thing, although that painting, I kept thinking of Tom Jones. So that song kept coming. It's not unusual to be loved by it. Every time I saw that, I was like, oh my God. And it was toward the end, though, but it was still funny.
I read a little bit on Amazon about, not Amazon, IMDb.
Yeah.
About the film, and somebody kept referencing the director, writer guy. I've forgotten his name already. I'm sorry.
Peter Carpenter.
Yes, Peter Carpenter as a low rent Tom Jones.
Ah!
Not quite leading man material. And they're absolutely right. He tried very hard.
Yep.
To be sexy and romantic. And then there at the end when he's crying.
Aww.
Oh, heavens. I was like, boo hoo, this is your fault.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Definitely, I agree with you that you should probably not black, or you should, blackmailing is bad and you shouldn't kill off your family. One of the things that I thought was really kind of pertinent to today's society, you know, I probably shouldn't talk about the election this close to the election, is that you probably shouldn't wish for things, you know, wishing for things doesn't make it happen, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And life is definitely going to throw you curveballs. Like in this particular case, Veronica? Yeah. She thought that she was going to get the inheritance because she, you know, she was with good old daddy till the end. And then suddenly it just goes to Gail. And it was like, and then she kind of just went into this catatonic state, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, oh my goodness. And I think it just takes a lot of character to take that hardship and turn it into something useful. You know, maybe a sex scene with topless women.
Right.
Cause that's what this movie is all about, really. No.
Are there
any other themes that you can think of that you would want to bring up about this film?
Well, the guy doing the blackmailing, I mean, can we talk about his hair and his outfit?
Definitely.
I mean, it was the 70s. I understand that, but geez.
All blackmailers look like that. Don't you know that?
Well, I mean, just kind of sleazy and.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And what he did with the doctor's girlfriend was.
I know. And she just disappeared.
That was like, oh, my God.
And I mean, I guess the doctor was too busy running around with Veronica
and Gail
to remember that he did have a girlfriend at his house.
And early on, I thought, oh, this is a sacrificing wife. But then it was like, well, probably not a wife now.
Yeah.
Because the ending, yeah, she completely disappeared from the film, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Yep. She tried to make money, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, trade.
Trade.
She tried to make a trade. But, and what he said to her after that whole thing, you're good, but you're not that good. I was like, oh.
Right, you could just reach in there in the screen and strangle that dude, right?
Oh, that was just cold, dude.
Well, and it didn't look like at the beginning of that scene where he was being a little bit rough. Like she was almost like, no, I don't want to do this anymore.
Oh, that's totally what happened.
Yeah, okay. So I didn't imagine that.
No, she was not into it anymore. She's like, wait, no, let's
not do this. Oh, yeah. My God.
But so, then at the end, he shows up and he's got the body.
Yeah.
That was great. So he's been following the doctor all this time.
Of course. And that does it brings up the one scary scene that I really like thought was like, oh my God, this is like Tales from the Crypt. Oh, no. Oh, no, it's an M. Night Shyamalan film.
I was like, oh, wait, she's not dead. Then blam. I was like, oh, man.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
Right. And then in comes Big Haircut.
With funky clothes.
Right. And the doctor cries.
Yes. That kind of seemed overdone to me. It really did.
Well, it's like a Greek tragedy.
Exactly. Did you think that the pacing and the what do you call it, blocking of the film, you think it was looks like more like a stage film or a stage production rather than a film?
I could definitely see that. There was a lot of three-quarter,
posing,
and especially the way that, like, when Veronica was painting, she's painting on the camera lens.
Yes.
So that was really, immersive.
And during the not the auction scene, the reading of the will, it just seemed like everybody was seated like you would, like you were watching them on stage. And I was like, oh my God, is this a stage film?
Yeah. I'm sorry. No, I could definitely see that.
Another thing that I would wanted to ask you about this film is how do you think women and men were portrayed in this film overall? Do you think that there was one gender stronger than another, or do you think they were treated the same? Or
all the men in this film were very dastardly. Mm. There was not a redeeming male character in the entire movie.
Exactly.
As you said, the father was an awful man. And especially if what we're intimating from the flashback scene or whatever is true, then he's a completely horrible person. Mm-hmm. The doctor is a sleazeball. Then he's being blackmailed by another sleazeball. And then all of the women in the movie were crazy or something was wrong with them. You know, Gail was an idiot.
Yes.
She had a lesbian friend. And in that, of course, that time,
yep,
that was viewed as something is wrong with you.
Mm-hmm.
Veronica is insane. And the nurse is very lonely.
Yes, definitely. Was.
So, I mean, all of the female characters were flawed, too. I mean, I really felt sorry for Veronica until she murdered her father, of course.
Yes.
But, you know, even still, you know, if he did to her what we think happened to Gail, then, you know, right on, sister.
Yeah.
But still, you know, there are better ways to go about it, I guess. But
it definitely was. And then any sympathy that I had for Victoria ended with the whole scene of how she treated Gail at the end. So
yeah, I've been calling her Veronica this whole time.
It's Victoria. Yeah. Yes, it's Victoria.
Well, and that was my thing. I'm like, you know, why are you killing your sister? She's not the one that you should be killing. Kill the doctor.
Kill the doctor. Yes, exactly. He's the one he's the despicable man that like shifted gears because that's what he does.
Right. Yeah. You know, he wanted that cold, hard cash and
because of a mistake from his past. I mean, he couldn't like take responsibility for that, you know?
Right.
But I suppose that's the time, you know, maybe.
Yeah. You know.
So
what'd you think about that Renaissance fair?
It actually did look like something that I probably would film. And I'm, you know, it just, but it was, I don't know, it just seemed really weird and out of place to me, but I'm sure it had some meaning in it, or maybe they were just fluffing up the time. I mean, it's kind of a short film still.
Yeah.
Hour 20 minutes.
That was my thought. Cause I mean, they go into that long trip to the Renaissance fair.
Yeah.
And then the sexy walking on the beach.
Yep. And that's the thing, is like, I would normally think, you know, if they would have built up the relationship building during that time frame, but it really did happen on the beach, you know? So they could have just kind of expanded the beach scene. I think I would have been happy with that. So, but maybe it was me. Maybe there should have just been more boob scenes there.
Well, I mean, I don't see how we could have packed any more into the film.
Exactly.
You know, wall-to-wall boobs from beginning to end.
Oh, my goodness. Like I said, I keep forgetting that the 70s films will have that. And, you know, I don't know. I grew up in the 80s films, or, you know, watching 80s films.
Yeah.
And there were some of that in there, but it was just like, you know, it wasn't like you would have one or two scenes, mm-hmm, and that would be it. And this film, it was like, I don't know, there was like four or five different scenes in it that had that.
Yep. There were a bunch.
Yeah. But at least they did. They were fair, and they did show the guys a little bit too. So
there was a butt or two, you know. Yeah,
there were.
Yeah. I can deal with that. But, you know, need some equal screen time.
That's true. It was kind of lopsided in this case. So we're going to take a short break now. And when we return, we're going to do some quick final thoughts on Blood Mania. And we're also going to give our final ratings about Blood Mania, you know, the film that I can't say without using air quotes.
And now we take a short break.
Here's what the critics are saying about the new Tour de Force podcast, Pool Party Radio. Anne Hornaday of the Washington Post says, At its core, this clever, wrenching, profound story underscores the tenacity of faith in the face of unfathomable cruelty. Tom Long of the Detroit News says, "Frisbee is a delight, playing Doughty instead of his standard Regal, and Parker is appropriately droll and disillusioned. Together they manage to make a sad story feel somehow bright." Chicago's Sun-Times, Bill Zwecker says, "A lesser podcast could so easily have turned this project into mushy, sentimental junk. The tear-jerking moments here are heartfelt and real. It's the kind of podcast we see too little of today." Isn't it about time you've checked out Pool Party Radio? Found online at poolpartyradio.com or by searching on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Remember, it's the number one podcast about the awfulness of being alive.
Hey guys, Hanagalcast here. Join myself and my fellow co-hosts, Edward, Kendra, LaShawn, Albert, the other Sean, Wyatt, and many others, as we're going to dive into a grab bag gimmick of pop culture and non-pop culture topics. We're on iTunes, Hanagalcast, Spreaker, Hanagalcast, and many other social media websites. We take requests, and you can email us at hanukfeedback@gmail.com. Finally, a podcast that will never be questioned, ever.
And we're back from our break. It's time to give our final thoughts and ratings for the new jerks out there, which there should be because this is our first episode. We have a very simple rating system here. You can either say like it, meaning that you should definitely click on the film on your favorite video streaming services. Then there's lump it, which means that you can definitely give this film a pass, or the maybe, meaning that you should click on the film depending on some caveats. So our lipstick jerk, what are your final thoughts about this film and what rating do you give it?
I'm going to do the rating first. I like this movie. Really do like it. Give it a whirl. It's kind of that perfect. Well, perfect is a strong word, but it's just that good mix of, you know what's going to happen, kind of. Yeah. And then something unexpected happens, and then it kind of loops back around to what you really thought was going to happen. Anyway, it's just a good one. It's just a good, solid one.
There you go. I'm going to give it a maybe because I do enjoy different types of horror films. So I'm going to say that, like, people that like gore porn probably could lump this film. Whereas people that like the old style, like Hammer type films, they probably should like this film. So that's what I would give is a maybe.
I like that you give it that upward inflection too. That's perfect.
And so I'm going to say that if you out there in the viewing land want to become a film jerk, you can definitely join our community group on Facebook. Just look up Film Jerks and I'm sure we'll pop up there. Just join our group, talk to us, and we'll make you a guest jerk, of course. And then eventually you can become a permanent jerk just like the rest of us.
Yay.
And other than that, where can we find us? So, Angelique.
Well, you can find me on Facebook. I'm fairly easy to find. Of course, you know, you can find me in our Film Jerks group on Facebook. I'm also a part of a great group of folks who do some pretty awesome movie reviews at thelosthighway.com. So check us out there and read some funny stuff.
And you can find me at Forsaken Film Reviews.